Are you awake?
I am awake.
But I'm not happy.
It is way too early for this, guys.
And I haven't even had my coffee yet.
So it's Tuesday.
Hey, it's only Tuesday.
Is it really?
Yep, nothing to get excited about.
Well, I, for one, am very excited about this.
About what?
About what?
About this show.
What about this show?
It's showtime.
TSN 1200.
How is it going, everybody? Welcome back. 9-11 here on this Tuesday morning. Rain falling in Ottawa. Be the story for the day today, but looks like promising weather ahead for tomorrow and Thursday and maybe even into Friday. And that is the next Red Blacks home game, second to last home game of the season. We want to congratulate Mark Campbell, our latest winner in our TSN 1200 all day Red Blacks ticket giveaway. Congratulations, Mark. You're off to the game with a pair of tickets, and we'll do it all day long right until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Red Blacks hosting the Calgary Stampeders Friday night at TD Place. They'll be back on the practice field today, but fair to say a little less focus on what's going on the field with the Red Blacks now eliminated from the playoffs and a little more focus on what's happening off the field given the events of yesterday, which included the dismissal of the team's only general manager, Marcel Desjardins, and the search now underway for his replacement. Mark Gowdy, OSEG president, confirming yesterday on The Drive that the expectation is that head coach Paul Lapolice will return next year along with the coaching staff. So that's already appears to be in place before they even bring in a general manager. Thoughts on that, Simmer? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I look at that and say, hey, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Okay. I'm not sure I do. I'm not sure. I'm not sure there's a choice, and I understand that given the finances. But I think if you're looking for someone who And this is not to say whether Paul Lapolice has done a great job or not this year. I mean, the team is 2-9. He's in the first year of a 3-year contract. The budget would tell you in a CFL that you just can't let a coach go. He's got two more years left on his contract. The issue though is you know, are you hiring a general manager who works with the coach when you know, not necessarily that that they're, you know, you want them to align themselves, but you know, Paul Lapolice, you know, does he align himself with 100% of the candidates? Probably not.
Yeah, I would do that, align it, only because, as I said, you want to reconstruct a roster in the CFL, you're able to do that, JR, and it would pretty much be a wasted year if you're going to have a general manager and head coach butting heads.
All right, well, let's get more thoughts on this. So let's go to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline and welcome from the CFL on TSN, Dwayne Ford, the discussion this morning. How you doing this morning, Dwayne?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Excellent. Got to ask you, I mean, you've done a number of Red Blacks games this year. It has not been pretty. You know that better than anybody. It's a lot of fourth quarters that you guys have had to fill and try and be entertaining when the game hasn't been entertaining. Are you, when you heard the news yesterday, I guess, were you surprised either at the news or at its timing?
I was surprised by neither, quite honestly. And I think when you look at the team's record over the last two seasons played, 2019 and 2021, obviously, in both instances, it's been the Canadian Football League's worst record. And so I think that in terms of, is the news surprising based on that? No. I think a lot of people would look and kind of think that this is a roster that needs improvement in order to be able to compete, and particularly on the offensive side of the ball. But I think as a whole, on paper, the roster is not as strong as contending teams in the Canadian Football League. And then as far as the timing, when the team was officially eliminated from playoff contention on Saturday, I think that's what makes the timing make sense, is, okay, this year is not, we're really no longer playing for this year. We are playing for the future. And I think this gives the OSEG executive group an opportunity to evaluate what's going on down the stretch in order to prepare for next season and beyond.
For the franchise, it's been a model since it returned. Would this also be a big business decision based on the timing of, hey, it's been COVID, it's been a down year as far as, well, you couldn't have many people at the game, but starting to get a bit worried about what has been so successful?
I don't necessarily think that that's a huge consideration, quite honestly, that, you know, I mean, the bottom line is, I think that this is a football decision more than a business decision, that you have a team that has struggled for a couple of years, maybe has trended in the wrong direction, you know, essentially since the end of the 2018 season. And you want to sort of get things pointing in the right direction and start working on that as soon as you can.
With Dwayne Ford from the CFL on TSN, as you assess this team and its difficulties, Dwayne, over the last two football seasons, 2019 and now this year, what do you pinpoint as the biggest deficiencies as far as how the roster has been constructed?
Yeah, the number one thing to me far and away is that the team hasn't been strong at quarterback. We all know that this is a quarterback-driven league. You know, it has long been my theory that you can't contend for a Grey Cup unless you get sort of MOP caliber play from your quarterback. You look at the trend over, you know, the last decade, maybe more, that it doesn't necessarily mean that your quarterback has to be an MOP finalist or even an MOP nominee, but as the team comes down the stretch and into the playoffs, using Zach Collaros as an example last year, you had a guy under center who was playing at an MOP level, and that's what you need. And if you have a guy who's not capable of playing that level, or you don't have anybody who's capable of playing that level at the quarterback position, you're not a Grey Cup contender.
Early on, you had Burris, who went to Harris, and it was a pretty good thing. Is it a fault of the organization 7 years in that they haven't developed their own young quarterback?
I would call it an issue. You know, I mean, it's something that needs to happen. But I think when you look at the Canadian Football League, it's an interesting thing, because I think that one thing that has kind of evolved over time in the CFL is that the development from within has maybe become a little bit less, and the nature of free agency gives you opportunities to go out and get guys, right? You're talking about a league where all your free agency is completely unrestricted. So a lot of times you can plug holes and overcome. You know, I mean, I could list off examples of a lot of teams in the league, quite honestly and quite oddly, that have not developed many, if any, quarterbacks over a long period of time. Sometimes you get one team that is a bit of a pipeline. And I've spent most of my career playing for one of those teams in Calgary, right? Where it was like, we kind of always had the next guy. Edmonton for a stretch always had the next guy. And so you look around the league and suddenly, you know, you've got nine starting quarterbacks, and, you know, three of them came into the league with Calgary and three of them came into the league with Edmonton. And so there are, you know, it's a league where the nature of the league is such that there are ways around that. But that said, I think it's certainly something that over a long period of time can catch up with you, because it's such an important position.
Potentially, we'll see a quarterback shake free, I would assume, at the end of this season out of Hamilton, either Jeremiah Masoli or Dane Evans. From what you've seen of Caleb Evans, very small sample size of Duck Hodges, really not much of anything at all, and even smaller of Taron Christian. But on Evans, do you see potential there for a long-term CFL quarterback? And if so, could you put your eggs in that basket next season, or do you have to find a veteran QB here in Ottawa next year?
My feeling is that you have to find a veteran QB for next year, and that's not a knock or anything on Caleb Evans. It's really hard for young quarterbacks to play in this league. It takes time for guys to develop and to really be ready to step in and play. And I think when you look around the league again, there are so many examples of that. We always say Ricky Ray was the exception, very much the exception to the rule, that as a guy who came in and was effective in his true rookie season in the Canadian Football League. With most guys, it takes at least a couple of years. You know, I mean, you look at a guy, for example, like Vernon Adams, who's had his ups and downs this year, but had a real breakout year last year. You know, that's about 4 years in, and after bouncing around the league. And Cody Fajardo, an MOP finalist last year, was on his third team and kind of 4 years into the league, and so on. And so many guys like that. Jeremiah Masoli is another example, right, of a guy who spent a lot of time as a backup before he was ready to become an MOP finalist and a really established starter in the Canadian Football League. So it typically takes time. So I think it's unfair to expect Caleb Evans to be that guy, quite frankly, even his second year. I think you need a veteran guy to be able to move forward right now.
Paul LaPolice, 3 years in Winnipeg, which you know very well, 16-28, 2-9 here. My calculation, that's 18-37. Thoughts on him as a head coach in the CFL?
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in Paul LaPolice as a head coach. I think that there are factors in every situation that can contribute to a head coach's record. I think that Paul probably learned a lot from his first experience as a head coach in Winnipeg and continues to learn from his experience in Ottawa. Again, like you have to look at trends around the league and so on. And I think one of the things you look at and point to is Winnipeg, right? In kind of year two or year three of Mike O'Shea's tenure as head coach, there are a lot of people suggesting that Mike O'Shea should be let go. But there's a learning curve, much like quarterbacks, that, you know, we always want these immediate results, but I don't know that immediate results are realistic. It takes time to build something. And, you know, I think when you have a very good coach, you have to be patient and give them time to learn parts of the job and to develop and so on. But, you know, going back to the Winnipeg example, you know, if people had kind of pulled the trigger after year two or year three on Mike O'Shea, I can assure you they wouldn't be the defending Grey Cup champions and the league's most dominant team right now.
Speaking with Dwayne Ford from the CFL on TSN, obviously, and you know, Oseg said yesterday that their expectation is that Paul LaPolice will return as the head coach next year. Does that in any way, in your opinion, Dwayne, compromise the search for the next general manager in that he already has a head coach in place?
I think that might be an issue for some people, but not for all. Again, I think that you have a pretty good coaching staff in place, quite honestly, in Ottawa, and one that would be attractive for a lot of people to have the opportunity to work with. You've got an experienced group, a group that I think the players have followed, will follow, will continue to follow. And so there are a lot of positives there.
All right. Well, the list of potential candidates started coming out yesterday after the news of Marcel Desjardins was released. And lo and behold, I saw your name mentioned as a potential general manager candidate here in Ottawa. So, Dwayne, I got to ask you, would you be interested in the position?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I would say is that the opportunity to help build a team is something that has always interested me. And I think that for anyone with those kind of aspirations, I think that there are a lot of very positive, very attractive things about the Ottawa situation. So I mean, it's not for me to decide whether I'm a candidate. I guess that would be for those running the franchise to decide whether that's, you know, worth investigating. You know, and I certainly don't want to be a guy who uses the exposure of my current job to try to campaign for another job. But to answer your question in fairness, I would be lying if I said that it wasn't of interest.
Do you want us to forward this this audio tape to Mark Gowdy, president of OSEG?
I don't think that'll be necessary. Okay. I appreciate it, though.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, you guys would probably be looking for a percentage, if anything.
Oh, he's listening right in his office right now, I can guarantee you. Dwayne, to that, in the process in the CFL, like, would you have an agent contact the Red Blacks, or would you sit back and wait for them to contact you?
Honestly, guys, that's not something that I'm entirely comfortable talking about at this time in terms of, you know, I mean, in terms of my own situation, as I said, like, if it's something that comes to fruition in terms of there being interest in me, then so be it. But that's not really for me to decide. And as I said, I mean, I have a job, which is to be a Canadian Football League analyst for the CFL on TSN. And I don't want to use that position to campaign for a different job.
Let's go back a couple of years. In hindsight, was it a mistake to let Coach Campbell go and keep Marcel Desjardins? Or under the circumstances, do you understand that? Or what was kind of the view within the CFL?
Well, I would say that the view within the CFL was that the team's biggest issues were with the roster. And obviously, you know, not knowing necessarily the ins and outs of how some roster decisions were made. You know, that tends to have fingers pointing towards the general manager, the personnel department, and so on. And so I think in that sense, within the league, there's probably, I would say there was probably a bit of a feeling, or was a bit of a feeling, that if one was going to stay and one was going to go, that it would have been more likely at that time to be the general manager. But, you know, if the decision that was made. You know, Marcel is a guy who put together a Grey Cup championship team and a team that reached and competed for the Grey Cup on a regular basis, right? This is a team that was pretty consistently, other than 2019, you know, 2014 and 2019, in the mix to be East Division champions. And, you know, I mean, that's a pretty good thing to have on a resume as a general manager.
Mm. We'll finish with this. You've already said that you believe that the quarterback situation needs to be fixed here in Ottawa for next season. As you assess the rest of the roster, and we had Marcel on the show yesterday, Dwayne, shortly after his firing was announced, and he said, amongst other things, he feels like there's a lot of good young players here in Ottawa and then I'll add my own thing that I'm assuming he's going to go on to say that are ready to pop here pretty soon. Do you agree with that assessment? As you assess this roster, add a really good quarterback, can this team rebound fairly quickly and as soon as next season?
Well, I think it can rebound and be competitive as soon as next season. I think you would like to add a few more pieces to the roster, quite honestly, and, in a couple of different places. I think when you look offensively, yeah, there are some guys that are interesting. You know, I think Ryan Davis is a guy who has a chance to be a very good player in the Canadian Football League as he gets to know the league better. As you improve at the quarterback position, obviously that becomes a factor, in terms of the production of a receiver and so on. But they probably do need to be stronger than they are at the receiver position, for example. I know they took a couple of surprising hits with guys pulling the chute on them just before the season on the offensive line, but that's a unit that needs to be solidified as well. And so, yeah, I mean, you look on the offensive side of the ball, it's no secret where this team's struggles have been the greatest by far this year. And again, I think you look at those factors and you can see where the most obvious upgrades are needed.
Would it be smart for anyone interviewing for the job to say it's a 3 to 5 year plan so you can get a 5 year contract? And I love the pull and the shoot. That's old school 80s. I love it.
Well, yeah, usually that would be talking about when you're trying to get your buddies to go out to the bar on Saturday.
Oh, no, it was that was hockey. That was a hockey term all the time. I love it.
All right, good stuff. Listen, really appreciate your time and your candor. And we'll see what comes to fruition as the search for the general manager begins here in Ottawa. Thanks for the time this morning. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
All right. There's Dwayne Ford from the CFL on TSN. So there you go. It's something that's always interested me, taking a general manager's role in the Canadian Football League. I'll tell you one thing about Dwayne Ford. First of all, he played in the league. He's been broadcasting a long time in the league. He knows the Canadian players maybe better than anyone else. And I'm talking about people inside the game as well, not just on the broadcasting side. For instance, last year, he identified this receiver out of the University of Guelph who's gone on, was drafted by Saskatchewan. Schaefer Baker is his name. Every time I watch Saskatchewan play, this kid is making plays. He was drafted in the fourth round. Dwayne Ford was all over it before the CFL draft, said this kid is a first-round talent. And nobody took him to the fourth round, and now he's starring in the Canadian Football League. Like this, you know, and you went through two things, and everybody says this. You went through two things in the Canadian Football League, your quarterback and your Canadians. Yeah. Quarterback and Canadians. Yeah. Take care of the quarterback, draft, develop, sign good Canadians. You can turn a franchise around pretty quickly.
Yeah, pretty good network as well. He's a Canadian guy that went to Western, did he not?
Yes.
The network there. And I got to be honest, JR, I don't think the list would be crazy long. When you hear that and he looks at the Ottawa situation and when he sincerely, at least on the air, gave a pretty strong endorsement to Paul Lapolice on a record that has not been very good, I would say, hey, that would, to me, makes a lot of sense to be the next general manager of the Red Blacks.
So clip that out, Hammer, if you could, please, forward it to Mark Gowdy. There we got one candidate potentially already confirmed for the general manager's position.
I find the quarterback thing interesting, JR, because I appreciate that you can find people. But if you ask me what the gold standard is of the 10 years I've watched the CFL since returning to Canada, I would look at the Calgary program and say, well, what did they do? They found a quarterback of their own. I hope they did. Did Bolle by Mitchell come right to Calgary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that that's, you know, to every year kind of sitting around and waiting for the backup to squeeze out of a spot or to take someone's starter. And we never even asked him whether or not he thought, you know, the whole nickel situation was a real mistake on Coach Lapo bringing him over and letting Arbuckle go, or at least going to another option as well.
Yeah. Interesting, by the way, while we were talking to Dwayne, this piece of news that came out. Nick Arbuckle, of course, who signed and never played for Ottawa, went to Toronto, and we were all going, well, Ryan Dinwiddie, it was his coach in Calgary. They're tied at the hip. Dinwiddie's the coach of the Argos now. They bring in Arbuckle there. Arbuckle got traded today to Edmonton, which, of course, is looking for potentially a long-term quarterback because they traded Trevor Harris to Montreal after Vernon Adams got injured. So the quarterback carousel continues around the Canadian Football League, but safe to say that if Nick Arbuckle was all that, he'd still be in Toronto. So he disappointed in Toronto. I don't think there's much to do. You're not trading a guy you think is your future answer.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, JR. It just means other teams want you. And he's already on to team four. I think he's got an opportunity to play for every team
nine
in the league. I mean,
hey. Does it count when he didn't play for Ottawa, only signed and bought a house here?
He lived in Greeley.
That counts?
Had a couple of hot tub parties. Everybody loved him, so absolutely.
All right. Thoughts on what Dwayne Ford had to say in the general manager search here in Ottawa. Always welcome your text at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Phone line's always open at 750-1200. We got a lot to get to still. We're going to call our grand prize winner in our Sens Jersey Monday contest. So stand by if you got at least one code word into us for that. And we got to qualify somebody in our King of the Grill contest with Capital Barbecue for that Traeger grill. We're giving it away on Monday. Somebody qualifies before 10 o'clock right here on TSN 1200. How well do you know your barbecues?
Not too bad. You know, I have one, but I mean,
all right. Have you seen a Traeger before?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
But I'll give it a good guess here. Anyway.
Okay. What is the main color, Tony, of a Traeger grill? What is the main color of a Traeger grill? Is it black or is it, Tony, fuchsia? What is the main color of a Traeger grill? Is it black or is it fuchsia? Tony, what is your final answer?
Well, I'm not sure about the second one, so I'll go with black.
You'll go with black. What aren't you sure about fuchsia?
I'm not even sure what that is. I've heard of it.
Tony, black is absolutely correct. You've done it. Wow. You've correctly solved our skill testing question. And, Tony, your name is on the very short list of qualifiers for Monday's grand prize draw that Simmer and I will have right here on TSN 1200 to win that Traeger 575 Pro Grill that would look absolutely fantastic in your lowercase backyard.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. You guys are the best, man.
All right. See you later, Tony. Congrats.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right. There goes Tony, another satisfied customer. Your next chance to play comes up on In the Box, coming up after 10 o'clock with Steve Lloyd, Steve Bunda, Kenny Walls and company, and another chance this afternoon after 2 o'clock on The Drive. All right. There we go. You get that one, Simmer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I was trying to. No, it's funny because when I think about these different pellet grills, I always think of, I guess, of the green egg thing. So kind of being a different color like that. But
yeah, the green egg is green.
I understand.
Neither black nor fuchsia.
I understand that.
No,
yeah,
exactly.
Do barbecues come in any other colors in black, JR?
I have a red one.
Oh, there's silver ones, right?
Yes.
There's
silver,
a ton of silver.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I've not seen
you have a red one?
Yeah.
Huh.
And
interesting.
It's, yeah, and it's a Weber. I've told you all the time. I've covered that. We got it as a
last
wedding
forever.
Present.
Yep.
We are now well into our 20 years plus.
How many elements have you gone through so far?
I've had to replace the burner thingies or whatever once.
That's it.
They
wow.
have the flavorizing bars with the Weber that I have. So I've replaced those maybe twice.
The rack,
because I don't clean
the
them,
rack,
clean them as much as I should. And then the rack, I've done a couple of times.
Isn't that the flavor? What the heck's the flavoring bars? Are you really flavoring anything with the flavoring bars?
They're the flavoring bars.
Nothing is going on with the flavoring bars.
They're so flavorful. That's why they're flavor. Exactly. Anyway, it's a good one too. But so is the Traeger. The Traeger's fantastic. So, and if somebody doesn't want to win it, I'll take it. Yeah. I can win that as well.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Why do you get to go to the front of the line here? If somebody doesn't want it, I want it too.
How long have you had your barbecue?
I got it from my father-in-law 3 years ago.
Okay. Simmer, how long have you had your barbecue?
We're in a condo, JR, yep. So no barbecue.
No barbecue. JR's had his barbecue for well over 20 years.
Okay, then if you get the Traeger, I want your barbecue.
You know what? You probably have it. Because I've been looking to replace it anyway. So if you want my old barbecue, you can have it. I'm not going to put it at the end of the driveway.
Is it really that beaten up?
You got to come. No, it's beautiful. I've told you. I've covered it. It looks
somewhat
brand new.
I'll bring my truck and I'll pick it up, put it in the back.
The truck
crossover.
Three wheels or four?
Now again with four wheels. It's like brand new.
Okay. Well, you got lots of time because you won't be watching your Seahawks perform in the playoffs, after their Monday night loss to the Saints last night, 13-10. Seahawks fall to 2-5. How is it you're five games back in the divisional race when the
you've got an undefeated team that's leading seven games
into the season, the Arizona Cardinals. So interesting. We won't talk much. Last night's game was really not that watchable, to be quite honest with you. It was a lot of give the ball or throw the ball to Alvin Kamara. That was the game plan. That was the offense for the Saints. And the offense for Seattle was non-existent with Geno Smith as quarterback. And going back to that is why you're paying Russell Wilson. What's he making? $35 million a year?
$34 million.
Okay, $34 million a year, which is now becomes middle of the pack for starting quarterbacks in the NFL. You got to pay big money. And it's interesting to watch now what's going on in Kansas City. And I don't know that can you look? It's overthecap.com is a really good salary cap website for the NFL. Can you look up what the actual dollars for Patrick Mahomes are this year? I know he signed this gigantic deal, but I believe this year he's kind of getting there, and the big money doesn't kick in until next year.
Well, the big hit doesn't, JR. I looked it up a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember what it was, but I thought this year's around, 16 or 20 hammer? Okay. And then it goes bonkers after that, I thought.
Well, he signed for $500 million, and his yearly salary is going to go up at some point. Because this in the NFL, right, you can push money down the road, and eventually it does catch up to you. But Kansas City, and this will go, and we'll see if it ever happens, if you pay, and right into this year, the cap is, I think, 180, it came down this year, right? It's in the 180s, it's going to go back up again next year, over 200, but if you're paying, 20, if you're at 40, at like 25%, let's use round numbers, 25, a quarter of your salary to one player, can you surround him with enough talent to be able to win? That's a question that I think needs to get answered. Tom Brady has taken consistently below market deals and has won seven championships. Yeah. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, he's got a wealthy wife. And what I pulled up, Hammer, is his cap hit this year is only 7.4. Is that accurate?
Then goes up
to $35 million next year?
Does that include the signing bonuses?
It's the 2022 season, though. Remember that, right? It's the 2022 season this year. So his cap bonus,
This is the 2022 season. It's 2021.
I thought it was always when the Super Bowl was. Okay, then 2021, it is $7 million. But that seems.
Does that include his signing bonus money?
Yeah,
and everything?
That's everything.
That's the cap hit, just 7.4, really? Jared. Wow. Then it goes to 35, 46, 44, 46, 41, 59. Good luck.
Yeah. And Kansas City has suffered. They've already had to let, there's. And I said this at the start, and then I doubted myself. And now other people are saying it. they are starting to lose some skill position. Like their depth amongst receivers is Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and that's it. Really,
pretty much it
falls off.
Well, and since Kareem Hunt is in last year, is it Allaire?
Injured again.
You're kind of wondering where he's even going. So yeah, to that, and then hey, not just because he got kneed in the head, but simple math. When you start to look at where you're going to lose, well, the skill position, sure, but you start to lose that little bit of protection around you, and start to wonder honestly. And it's hard, JR, because if you're faced with it, and everybody says you got to be the number one quarterback as far as salary, and you push and push for it, but it doesn't make any sense in any sport when any one player is eating up 25% of your salary cap on a 53-man roster. Come on. What's the formula to ever win with that?
And he's only taken up 4% this season. Next season, he takes up 17%. Mm-hmm. So how much worse is that roster going to get?
And then the year after that.
Then you're up into the 20s after that.
And this is how good, this is how great, this is why there aren't dynasties in the NFL, you know? This is what the Dallas Cowboys are going to have to answer with Dak Prescott. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are having a great year this year. Dak Prescott's huge. And what's Dak Prescott's money this year? Because he signed. I think he got paid in actual cash this year. because he took all his signing bonus money up front. I want to say that he's making, in terms of cash this year, over $80 million going into his bank account, Dak Prescott, this year. Now, that's not his cap number, but that's his actual cash hit. They paid his signing bonus money all in one lump sum.
Would you consider the run that Brady had in New England to be a dynasty, JR, or the fact that he took less is the reason they turned over so many other players, right? He was the only constant along with the coach, right? Yeah. Like, to me, a true dynasty is that, you know, you have, you know, a group of five, six star players that are all together for the whole thing, and that was what made the New England thing. And you'd also, you followed me more than I do, but it's not exactly like New England's been a great drafting team over that as well. Like, they've been, you know, been able to situationally bring a lot of guys in, and obviously the mainstay was Tom Brady.
Yeah, Brady and Belichick, and I think as time goes on here, we are seeing, you know, how those two guys, just, you know, Belichick's coaching and his ability to get the most out of maybe not the most talented roster, and then Tom Brady, again, being arguably the best quarterback and maybe the best player in NFL history, certainly in terms of championships, and still not taking the most money. How far that can get you, right? We saw that in New England. No, we're seeing it now in Tampa as well. And the other part of it is guys signing below market deals to who just want to, toward the end of their career or even the middle of their career, just want to win a championship. Where am I going to go? I'm going to go play with Tom Brady.
Yeah, reestablish yourself. And then the other one that just defies odds is that it's one thing for somebody to hang around, but when we talk about the Yagers of the world or, you know, quarterbacks in the past, JR, you know, past 35, or I'd say past 40, they're not many anyway. I mean, what level are they at, right? I mean, he's playing right now like he's taking a run at an MVP, and I wonder if that's his motivation showing up each day is thinking, well, you know, I certainly want to win a Super Bowl, but what am I going to use this year? Well, I'm going to try to go out and do some crazy things record-wise.
So Dak's cash payout for this season, $75 million. Cash pay. If I'm reading this right, you know this website more than me.
Yes.
But that's what it says beside it. Cash payout.
How'd you like to look at your
75 mil?
Go online banking. Okay. Yeah, you're typing in there, TexasSouthernBank.com. Check it out. Put in your number. I'm guessing Dak is Dak69. Yeah. Well, that's his password.
That's his password?
Yep. Dak69.
Can we try that?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's gone from, I don't know, five schmil. Oh, there's $80 million in my bank account because my $75 million payout came in today.
First of all, I'm paying somebody to check my online banking. That's what I'm doing. And I'm saying, hey, Frank, what do I got in the old bank?
Yeah.
What do I got in the top drawer there?
What do I got in the Frank bank?
Oh, yeah. You know, also, and the club would take out the taxes, JR. So say in Texas, say he's got a cool 50. The thing you have to do is go withdrawal at the bank so you can get a look at the clerk's face when you do, hey, I'd like to take out $200. And then could you give me a, can you write down what's in my account? You have to do that, right? Just to get the expression on.
Yeah. And please write the 200 in one of those super big checks that they give away.
Hey, and Patrick Mahomes has something that Dak doesn't in his contract. And I want to know how you get this because it might lead me to do it. But Patrick's got himself a nice $550,000 workout bonus. Like, I'm just thinking as a football player.
Yeah.
You don't need the half a schmill to give yourself some motivation to get your butt in the gym and start crushing some weight.
Is that to show up for the off-season workouts, Hammer?
Good point. Maybe.
Considering the fact that Patrick Mahomes, I mean, if he maxes out every possible bonus on his contract, he's getting $503 million. Wow. He's going to half a billion dollars. Yeah. On his contract, which is crazy, if he maxes it
out. Half a mil to sweat.
Congratulations, by the way, unofficially to our Week 7 Pick'em Pool winner, and that is Ivy Davis. We had a five-way tie for the top, so we went to the tiebreaker, and Ivy, team named Captain, unofficially, you're our grand prize winner this week of $100 from Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar. 16 points. Again, we had not as many games this week, not as many visitors win, so the point total is not as big as it typically would be. So congratulations to you. Our Week 8 picks are online at tsn1200.ca, but congratulations to Ivy Davis. Let's just look quickly at the celebrity side of things. Looks like who had the big week here? AJ with 14 points.
First of all, he remembered again.
He made his picks. Lever Sage at 13. Lloydie with 13. Long Balls Walls at 12. Oh, there's JR. JR's at 11. Still haven't come across you guys yet. 11.
I'm right there.
Hammer 10. Nice job.
Well, I had to take the Seahawks.
Okay. There's Bundet. Oh, Simmer, there you are. I found you. 9 points. 9 points at last.
It was a tough week, and you beat me in the fantasy league as well.
Yes,
so
thumped you.
Streak is over.
Yeah, streak is over. All is right with the world.
2 points.
9:55. We'll take a break. Come back. We're going to award our grand prize in our TSN 1200 Jersey Monday contest. You got at least one code word into us yesterday. Stand by. We could be calling you with the great news that you've won our Sens Jersey Monday contest. Stand by for that. And then around the corner comes In the Box here on TSN 1200. 58, just enough time for us to squeeze in one final phone call with the great news for our grand prize winner in this week's TSN 1200 Sens Jersey Monday contest. You got a code word into us. Make sure your ringer is on. You're ready to go because we're going to call our grand prize winner right now.
Hello.
Looking for Derek, please.
This is Derek.
Hey, Derek, JR and Simmer from TSN 1200. How are you doing this morning?
Well, maybe a lot better, I guess.
Well, it's...
I'm not sure.
Sounds like you're on the road. You're driving in rain right now, right?
Yes. Of course, JR. And you're not able to be out in the golf course on a day like today.
No, exactly, Derek. I hear you, brother. But, yeah, we're here to deliver the good news, man. You're our TSN 1200 Sens Jersey Monday weekly winner. Congratulations.
No way.
Yes way.
That's great.
You know, Derek, if you need to, you can swear. You're allowed to.
Well,
but you don't have to. It sounds like you want to.
Well, that's great. Been trying. Never thought it would ever happen, though.
What are you going with name and number?
You know what? I've got a 16-year-old son. I'm going to have to... I would say Tkachuk, but you know what? There's Baffert. There's just too many guys to choose from. I think Tkachuk, personally, but I'll for sure be adding my kid to this, to his opinion on this, because I don't know if I'll end up keeping this. It'll end up being probably his if I had to guess.
Yeah. Well, are you and your 16-year-old son, what's your son's name?
Kyle.
Are you and Kyle kind of the same size, or have you kind of out, you know, is this a jersey that could maybe shared?
He's catching up to me. Let's just say that, height-wise there, but luckily got a couple more pounds on him, luckily.
Okay. Well, listen, you can take as much time as you need to make your decision. Here's the deal, though. Sometimes you want to look. You want to have longevity, right? So, I mean, you got Tkachuk just signed for 7 years.
Exactly.
Batherson is 6 years, right? Shabbat is 7 more years. Yeah. So,
I hear you on that one. Yeah. You know, what's going to happen with Pinto? Like, it's North. So, no, I think it's going to be Tkachuk, but I'll see what he says. From that standpoint.
You see what Kyle says? Absolutely. Take all the time you need, but know it's coming your way. Congratulations, Derek! You've won your very own Sens Black Home Adidas jersey. We're going to do it up and customize it however you would like. Congratulations!
Hey, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it, and enjoy the show in the morning.
All right, thank you. Derek Powers, our latest winner in our Sens Jersey Monday contest. He still sounds a little bit stunned by that entire thing. Don't blame him. It's one of those things where you just enter a word and you go, there's like zero, like thousands of people. There's no chance of calling me, and there you go.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, and I think everybody loving the new look and loving the home black that they're wearing. So, yeah, lots of options there as far as names, for sure.
All right, it'll be the road whites for the next three games for the Sens as they're off today, practice day tomorrow, and off to Dallas for the next game coming up on Friday. And with that, we'll put a wrap on the show. Stand by, because In the Box follows us, Steve Lloyd, Steve Bunda, and Kenny Walls to take you the next 4 hours. Then Lee and AJ and Matty Vowles are on the drive this afternoon at 2. Don't forget the Red Blacks radio show. Much more on the Marcel Desjardins dismissal yesterday by the Red Blacks coming up tonight at 6 on the Red Blacks radio show. And we're back tomorrow morning for a Wednesday. Have a great day, everybody. Stay dry with TSN 12.